We're doing tonight the laws of tzitzit, and we'll begin with just getting familiar with the terms. What is tzitzit? What is talit? What is talit yadol? What is talit katan? So tzitzit literally means a group of strings. The prophet describes how an angel grabbed him by the locks of hair. Well, someone has more hair than me. So that's tzitzit roshi. Right? If you have a bunch of hair in the front that you could grab, that's tzitzit roshi. Tzitzit literally means a group of strings. And so too, when we speak about tzitzit, so we're talking about the strings, and today the term tzitzit came to mean the four-cornered garment that people wear under their clothing, under their shirts. But really, that's a borrowed term. The word tzitzit literally means the strings. The garment is called the talit. Talit is some form of garment. So this is a talit gadol, a big garment. And then the tzitzit that we wear under our shirts, that's a talit katan. It's a small talit. The Torah tells us that in the end of Parsha Shlach, the Torah says, we read it every day in Shema, Hashem tells Moshe, tell the Jewish people that they should make tzitzis on the corners of their garments for generations to come. So if you open the siddur, you could see it in the siddur. We say it every day. What? Not being recorded? Okay. You open the siddur to Shema. We have over here, you guys could look in together. We have here an English siddur. Let's go over the parsha and then go from there. Anyone else want a siddur? Want a siddur? Okay. V'yomer Hashem Moshe Leimor. God speaks to Moshe saying, you want to see there? God speaks to Moshe saying the following. Daber b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, v'amarta lehem, say to them, v'asu lehem tzitzis, they should make themselves these strings, ha'kam fevig dehem, on the corners of their garments, lidorosam, for generations to come. V'nasnu al tzitzis ha'kanof, and they should put on these strings of the corner, pesil techeles, one string of blue wool string. Vayalachem letzitzis, and these strings will be for you for tzitzis. Urisemoso, you'll see them. Uzchartem, you'll remember, es kol mitzvos Hashem, all of the mitzvos of Hashem, asisemosam, you'll perform them. Meaning, you see tzitzis, that's supposed to be a reminder that you have commandments, and that's supposed to remind us to perform. Velosasuru achred vavchem vachrei nechem sheratem zonim achreihem. And when one sees the tzitzis, so they'll remind him of the mitzvos, and he won't follow his heart and his eyes that he has a tendency to go astray with. The mantis kiruvas isem skol tzosayt. The tzitzis are there, so you'll remember and perform all of my mitzvos. V'isem kedoshim lelokechem. You'll be holy to Hashem your God. Ani Hashem lokechem shotzis isem yetz mitzrayim. I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. Lios lachem lelokim, to be for you for a God. Ani Hashem lokechem. I am Hashem your God. That's the parsha of tzitzis. So God tells the Jewish people to put tzitzis on the corners of the garments. And we derive from this that it doesn't just mean that every corner you have, so on the lapel, put tzitzis, bottom corner, put tzitzis. You have pants with a zipper, you have corners there too. Maybe you should put tzitzis there. No, that's not the idea. So we say you have to be wearing a four-cornered garment, right? A four-cornered garment must have tzitzis. What does it mean, four corners? So you wear a jacket, it's got a slit up, slightly up the top, so it has two corners in the back and two corners in the front. A person wears a vest also, he has two corners in the back, two corners in the front. So our sages define that in order for something to be considered a four-cornered garment, must be that the slit goes most of the way up. Meaning, let's say a person has a vest that's slit halfway up. So we say, if it's most of the way up, it's slit, so then we look at it as two different corners. We say, then he has corners. And if most of the way the garment is connected, it's not slit most of the way up, so then we say that that garment is not considered to have four corners. When one has a four-cornered garment, an example of that would be the poncho. Today, it's very common that people, especially women, have this, they call it a big scarf. So basically a poncho, where you could have a poncho which is a square, and then, or a rectangle, and then you have four corners, but sometimes they round off the corners. If you round off the corners, then you don't have four corners on the garment. Torah tells us that we have to place tzitzit. What are tzitzit? If we have a four-cornered garment, what are tzitzit? So tzitzit is basically that we take a corner, we make a hole in the garment near the corner, and we put through that hole four strings. Doubled over, it becomes eight strings. That's why you look at tzitzit, seems like they have eight strings, but really they're four strings doubled over. After we place the four strings doubled over through that hole, so one of the strings is going to be longer than all of the other strings. This string is called the shamash, the servant, because he's going to be used to wrap the other strings. We put the four strings through the hole, and we make a double knot, simple double knot. Then we wrap the strings with that extra long string, and we make another knot, and we wrap again, and we make another knot, and we wrap again, and we make another knot. We have four wrappings in between five knots. The custom is to have seven wrappings between the first two knots, and then eight between the next set of knots, and then 11, and then 13. That's a custom. Some have other customs. According to Kabbalah, you do it one way. This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We have different customs. This part of the tzitzis, take out a tzitzis, look at it. Oh, we have one here. Thank you. This part, where you have the knot, then the wrapping, then the knot, this is called gedil, the wrapping. And this is called psil. This is the, so to speak, the tzitzis. Now these tzitzis were made very, very well.
Wait, sorry, can you say those two things again?
Gedil and psil.
Sorry, the gedil is
the wrapping.
So, do you mean like the whole wrapping section? I mean, do you mean
yeah,
like
the whole section, like from the first knot to the last knot.
This is the gedil.
Correct.
This is the
psil. Right. So, the minimum length of this whole thing together, the knots with the wrappings, with the string, the minimum length is 12 thumb widths. So you place your thumb, you measure 1, 2, 3, 4. His was done perfectly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I didn't expand it. This is about 8, somewhere between 8 and 10, and this is 4, which is the ideal way it should be. Ideally, we want that this section that's bound is going to be a third, and the section that has the strings loose is going to be 2/3. So if we have a 8 over here and 4 over here, that's exactly right. So whoever made your tzitzit did a beautiful job. You'll find that when you make your own tzitzit, it's not so easy to do. I've yet to get it right. I made tzitzit many times. So maybe other people are more talented than me. Probably other people are more talented than me. But I work on it every time. This isn't critical. If you made the tzitzit and you see it didn't come out the measurements you wanted, so long as you still have the minimum length, so it's not the most beautiful tzitzit. But you have tzitzit, you made your own, that's it, it's still kosher. Don't undo it and start again. Don't forget, you have to do this four times, like on four corners. So you'll get better at it as you go along. Yeah?
Could you make the psil too long and then too short to make it the c-thirds?
You could, but you don't have to. Don't forget that you need the minimum length. You need the minimum length of 12 finger widths from the first knot to the end. So you shouldn't lose that. If you're going to cut the strings shorter, so according to Kabbalah, it says you shouldn't cut them with a metal, if anything metal, with a scissor or anything like that. The custom is to cut it with your teeth. But if you cut the strings, then they usually start unraveling. So it's not always a good idea to cut the strings. Even though halachically you could, it's not always a good idea.
So like you dip them in like super glue or like nail polish.
Yeah, there are all kinds of ideas. You could also make a knot that helps them stay together.
Uh-huh. So wait, the cutting them with metal isn't forbidden.
It's not forbidden. According to Kabbalah, it's not a good idea.
Okay. Because like I mean, how do you cut them with your teeth? I don't know how.
You bite it. What's the problem?
But how well would that turn on you? Would that look very nice?
I don't know.
Can you cut them? I've never tried cutting the shit with my teeth. I didn't know that worked.
Give it a shot.
So we have to put tzitzit on the four corners of our garments. Let's say a person doesn't have a four-cornered garment, so he doesn't have to have tzitzit. What we like doing is we wear a four-cornered garment, and then we're obligated in putting tzitzit on that garment. So we're performing a mitzvah every second that we're wearing that garment. But one doesn't have to wear a four-cornered garment. Theoretically, you could say, I won't wear the four-cornered garment, and I won't be obligated in tzitzit. Today, the custom is to wear tzitzit. We wear a four-cornered garment with tzitzit. But there were times when that wasn't the custom. In the Tosfos time, people their whole life would wear a talit when they got to shul, and that was the extent of it. They didn't wear tzitzit all day long. If a person is sweating through the summer, and he has a tough time concentrating in his learning, so let him take off his talit, his tzitzit, and learn without it. It's not so long as you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, you don't need to have tzitzit. Once you have a four-cornered garment, you need to wear tzitzit. You may not put on a four-cornered garment without tzitzit. Meaning a person says, gee, that's nice, I'll buy one of those. And he buys a tzitzit without the strings. And then he says, I'll wear it, I'm cold, now it's the winter. So then we say, no, that you're forbidden to do. You can't wear that four-cornered garment without putting tzitzit on it. But you don't have to wear it with the tzitzit. We have a tradition that when a person is in time of danger, let's say, God forbid, there's an accident or something, so he needs extra protection from above. So then God says, if he's wearing the tzitzit, I'll give him the extra protection. So a person might want to wear tzitzit. A, he's performing a mitzvah every second that he's wearing it during the day. And B, it's extra protection. Now, the tzitzit used to be worn over the garments, the way you see Hasidim doing it. And then the Jews were exiled, and they couldn't really do that. And that's why today some have a remnant of that, that they take the strings out. They say, this way you could see them, like the Torah says, you'll see the strings and you'll remember them in Tzvot. According to the Kabbalah, you're not supposed to take out your tzitzit. That's why Sfardim do not take out the strings. So whatever you do, you have Huda or Laya.
According to Kabbalah, you say?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to take out the strings?
Correct. According to Kabbalah, the strings are not supposed to be seen.
But I understand the whole purpose is to see them.
It's not so clear what whether it means you should see them when you wear the garment above your clothing, or that you should really take out the strings the way people do today. And we see that this isn't part of the mitzvah. The Torah says, you'll see them, you'll remember my mitzvahs, and you'll perform them. This will help you from going astray where one's eyes and hearts would lead them. But we say that the tzedukim, those who didn't have the oral tradition, who rejected the oral tradition, they used to take tzitzit and hang them up around the house. They'd say, the Torah says you should see them. So we see them. We say, that's ridiculous. These are people who left the fold. They left our tradition.
I think I've read like a curated website that says, no, that we don't do that. That's stupid. Whoever, I don't know.
So maybe today they got smarter. It's true. I saw Karai some 12, 13 years ago, and he was wearing tzitzit just like we do. You couldn't tell that he was a Karaite.
A what?
A Karaite. There were a sect of people who had a very large following during the time of the Second Temple down to the period of the Rambam, and there's still some remnants of them, and they rejected the oral tradition. So one of the things they did was hang out tzitzis around the house. But we say that the Torah doesn't mean that you have to see them. When you wear the garment above your clothing and you'll see them, you'll remember the mitzvot. But people say this is a good way of performing the mitzvah. You have your tzitzis out. So that's good. So long as you're not a Sephardi. Sephardim very often go with the Kabbalah, and then according to Kabbalah, the tzitzis should not be out.
What's the reason?
I don't know. You got to ask a Kabbalist. I don't know.
I think someone told me that it's like a private mitzvah and it doesn't concern other people, but I don't know. That doesn't really make sense.
I don't know.
Because there are lots of other things that are private. Like they don't say Gavin when no one else is around. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't it say in the Shulchan Aruch that tzitzit should not touch your body? The skin?
Tzitzit should not touch your skin. So if a person wants to, what a person may do is... person can theoretically put his undershirt into his underwear and then put his tzitzit like into hanging on top of the underwear. Anyways, once we all wear underwear, so I'm not sure that we're concerned about the tzitzit touching anything that's left uncovered, because the basic parts are covered. So we said in order for a garment to be obligated in tzitzit, it must have a minimum of four corners. Corners means they aren't rounded off. Must be a minimum size of 3/4 of an amma in the front, 3/4 of an amma in the back, by 1/2 amma width. And here, these measurements are a little bit complicated. The Gemara gave us measurements that a 9-year-old would wear it and not be embarrassed. It has to be, he could cover enough that he wouldn't be embarrassed to walk out with it, and that an older person would also be willing to walk out with it. And this is the measurement that came down. If one wants to be more stringent, then he should at least have an amma in the front and in the back. What's the length of an amma? So then we have two different understandings as to what the length of an amma is, and that's why they tell you sometimes, do you want tzitzis made chazanish, the size of chazanish, or of chayim noah? Two different size. You don't have to be more stringent. Okay, now the strings that we put in the tzitzis. So the strings have to be spun with the intent for the mitzvah tzitzit. Meaning you can't just buy string or thread from a store. It has to be a string that was made for the sake of tzitzit. And that's why you'll see strings have kosher certification, that they were made properly, made by a Jew with the right intent. And you should know that some of the string is spun by machine and some by hand. Now a machine can't have intent. So you say the man pushing the button has intent. The question is that good enough? And here there's great discussion among the different rabbis. Ideally one should try and purchase strings that are handmade. The price difference isn't so big. It's a few shekel. And anyways, the handmade ones usually last longer through the laundry. A practical tip, when you're laundering your tzitzis, do it by hand. Don't do it in the machine. It'll last you many years.
What about the dryer?
And don't use bleach. And don't use the dryer. But hang them out to dry.
I screwed my hair like messed up. First of all, they shrunk. The fringes are all like poofy.
Yeah.
Seats are all like crimped.
Yeah. So that's what happens if you put them in the machine and you use the dryer. So. They sell all the kinds of nets to help you put them in the machine. I haven't found any of them to work. Every time I machine wash mine, they get destroyed. For the last few years, I've hand washed mine. And they last just fine. When you hand wash them, even if the strings get wet, they're fine. Don't use bleach, by the way. Bleach makes wool to be paper-like. It'll get destroyed. Don't use any bleach. But you use regular detergent. You put it in a tub. You clean it. You let it sit, and then it'll start stinking, and then you'll know when you encounter in the Mishnah, Mei Mishra, water that wool was soaked in. It's one of the things that the Mishnah uses to describe stinky water. If you leave your tzitzis to sit for 2 or 3 days in the water, you'll see what the Mishnah is talking about. And even then, so you clean it again, and it comes out okay. Ideally, the material that we wear should be made of white wool. If one needs tzitzis in another color, for example, soldiers, they're not allowed to wear anything white when they go out, so they need to have a green tzitzit with green strings, so then consult with your rabbi how you should do that. Basically what we do is we say you could have strings of an identical color to the garment. So white strings are good for any garment, meaning if you wear a green garment, a blue garment, any color garment, white strings are good for. If you're wearing a garment of any other color, if you want tzitzit of any other color, so what you do is usually you buy the strings white. You buy them good strings that were made for the sake of the mitzvah of tzitzit. And then you color them. That's what most soldiers do today. They get a green garment, and then they get white tzitzit. The tzitzit is what has to be made. The strings have to be made for the sake of the mitzvah. And then they dye them. The army even has dye that they sell today. Yeah.
Why can't their garment be white if they're wearing it underneath their uniform? No,
in case something sticks out, like when they're in the middle of an ambush or something, they have to make sure that no one could see them, that nothing could stick out. So all their clothing has to be green. So then one should contact his rabbi to review the laws. But in general, that's how it's done. So ideally, we wear a garment of white wool to make tzitzit. Now, does the garment have to be of wool or not? So there are two different opinions as to whether, if you wear a garment made of cotton, for example, is it biblically obligated to have tzitzit or rabbinically? So we say, if you want to perform the mitzvah in the ideal fashion, wear a garment that's made of wool. Because that everyone agrees on, you're performing the mitzvah biblically. But let's say you're hot in the summer, so you could get a cotton tzitzit, then you're performing the mitzvah at least rabbinically. Some opinions will say you're even performing it rabbinically, biblically. Well, here there are different opinions. Now, the Torah says that we should have tcheles, we should have a string of blue wool is one of the eight strings, or one of the four strings doubled over. So we don't know what the tchelis is anymore. We know it comes from the blood of some kind of creature called the chilazon. And for over 1,000 years, we don't know what this creature is. Probably closer to 2,000 years, we don't have this creature. So as a remembrance for that, we used to paint our garments. You'll see many talitot have either black stripes or blue stripes as a remembrance for that. And we say that the tcheles is similar to the sky. So here there are two different opinions. What does it mean the tcheles is similar to the sky? This color is similar to the sky by day or by night? The color that you're supposed to color it. So if you say it's by night, so that's like a blackish color. So that's why the Ashkenazim have black stripes on their talit. Some have blue stripes nowadays on their talit. There's a medrash that says that historically each tribe used to have a different design on their talit. You'd see someone with their talit, you could recognize what kind of person he is, what tribe he's from. Now, the medrash says that when God was praying and he showed Moshe a vision of him praying, so God showed him standing praying with a talit, with a white talit. And that's why Sephardim go with this custom that the talit should have maximum white stripes, should be totally white, going with this midrash that Moshe Rabbeinu saw God praying wearing a white talit.
And the blue they use today?
The blue that they use today, so there are rabbis who say that one should wear it. There are rabbis that say that you gain nothing by wearing it, but you don't lose anything by wearing it, other than the high price that they charge for it. So each person should ask his rabbi what he should do. In general, our sages taught us, the pasuk says, "Ze eli ve'anveyu." This is my God, and I will beautify him. We say it in Az Yashir. So, how do you beautify God? So our sages said that this applies to how you perform mitzvot. You have a mitzvah tzitzit. So a person can buy a cheap tzitzit that doesn't look nice, or he could buy a beautiful tzitzit. Person, Hanukkah is coming up, he could light his Hanukkah candles with beautiful candles, or he could take little bottle caps and make a menorah out of that. So in every mitzvah we say try to perform the mitzvahs beautifully. Get a beautiful talit, get a beautiful menorah, try to perform the mitzvahs beautifully. So same thing is true, tzitzit. Now, ideally, before one wears the talit every day, he should check his tzitzit. To ensure that the strings aren't torn. Because if they're torn, it could be that he's wearing a four-cornered garment without kosher tzitzit. But let's say one's running late for prayer. So by doing this, he'll end up being even later. So then we say, okay, so you'll pass today. A different time, tomorrow you'll check. When we put on the tzitzit, so we're performing a mitzvah. And before we perform mitzvot, we make blessings. So the tzitzit is no different. Let's say one is wearing the talit gadol, the big garment. So then, prior to making the mitzvah, directly prior. People sometimes, I see, they make a blessing, and then they start talking and doing other things, and then they do the mitzvah. It's improper. The bracha was no good. It's invalid. In order for a bracha to be on a mitzvah, one has to make the blessing, and directly following that, perform the mitzvah. Same thing is true for making a blessing on a food. We should make the blessing, and directly following that, eat the food. People sometimes make a blessing as they're unwrapping candy, and then they wait a few seconds and then they eat the candy. The blessing isn't a good blessing. They have to remake the blessing. The amount of pause that can pass between making the blessing and eating a candy, for example, is the amount of time it takes to say the following sentence, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. How much is that? A second and a half? 2 seconds? So people, same thing is true when it comes to performing mitzvos. When we put on tefillin, we hold the tefillin here, we make the blessing, and then we just start wrapping the wrapping around. But everything has to be ready. You can't make the blessing as you're taking it out of the box. It has to be on your arm, ready to be tied. Then you make the blessing and start wrapping it around your arm. Same thing is true with the talit. We hold the talit above our heads, ready to wrap it around us. We make the blessing, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, our Elokeinu, our God, Melech HaOlam, King of the World, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav, that made us holy with His mitzvot, V'tzivanu, and commanded us, Lehitatef B'tzitzit, to wrap with the tzitzit.
That's really Gedol, right?
Right. Now, it's interesting that Torah doesn't say you have to wrap tzitzit anywhere. It doesn't say you should wrap the talis around you. And it's unclear where this custom comes from. But the bracha, our sages incorporated it into our bracha, into the blessing. And therefore, right after making this blessing, we wrap the talit around us. Can I use your talit to demonstrate?
Of course.
Okay. Now, the Torah tells us that when they build the Mishkan, the tabernacle, so they would make signs on each piece of wood so that the same piece of wood that was on the eastern side would always be on the eastern side, and on the western side would always remain on the western side. Because different sides have different kinds of holiness, and you want to maintain the same holiness for each piece of wood. You don't want to switch them around. So the same thing is true with the talis. We put this little piece of material over here to show us which side was on the front, covering our head. And this way, the tzitzit that are in front of us will always be in front of us, and the tzitzit that are in back will always be in back, and we don't switch around. So we take the talit. Now, it's nighttime, and at night we don't make a blessing on the talit. Nighttime isn't the time, the Torah says, you will see the tzitzit. So the time of wearing tzitzit is by day when you see them. So let's say this were the morning, you hold it up like this, you make the blessing, Baruch Ata Hashem, you say God's name, Okay, Nemelech HaOlam Shaket Shem, Mitzitav Tzivanu, Hitatef B'Tzitzit. Then, there are different customs. One custom does like this, wraps it around the body. That you probably haven't seen. I haven't seen anyone doing that for about 10, 15 years. But it does have a source, that custom. If you live in a town where people do that, so do that. It has halachic basis. Another custom says that you take it like this, and then you throw the pieces, the talis behind you, so you have all four corners behind you, and you've wrapped it around you like an Arab, so to speak. And now that it's wrapped around you, you make the blessing. Some cover their eyes, and some don't cover their eyes. Some say you should have it covering your face totally when you're doing this. And other people do a different thing. They put all four pieces together, and they throw them back. You saw what I did? Threw this one back, and then that one. When the tzitzit is like this, then we say the verse, which sounds like it's very long, but believe it or not, once upon a time I didn't know by heart either. You read it from a siddur. After 2 or 3 weeks, you'll remember by heart too. Okay, so we have the tzitzit. How do we wear tzitzit? Basically, you see, like this.
I've seen another way.
Yeah, so you'll see in Reformed temples, if you ever happen to have seen them, that they wear it like a scarf. They wear it totally like this.
I've seen the blessing another way.
Oh, so on the blessing, some people do it like this. They do it like this, and then they have all four corners together. Yeah, they wear it like a scarf, just covering their head, and then they do this. That also has basis.
Yeah,
to do it like this.
And
covering the whole head.
It's Friday. Rav Siegel showed us that you cover the whole head and you put the whole thing in front of your eyes and over your left shoulder.
Right. Okay, so there are those that have that custom. Mm-hmm. A chassid once came to the Basner Rebbe and he asked him, what great intent am I supposed to have as I'm wrapping the talis? I'm having the holy strings around me. What intent should I have? What should I be focused on? So he told him, I want you to be very, very focused on making sure not to hit the guy next to you as you wrap the talis.
Yeah, I know someone got poked in the eye.
People get poked in the eye every morning. So all the holy intent, it's true. This is a mitzvah that our sages say it surrounds the Jew. There's a custom even to wear a talis when the custom doesn't exist anymore, as far as I know. But it is brought down to wear a talis when we light the Hanukkah candles. I'll fold it in a minute. You borrow someone's talis, then the respect is you give it back folded, which I'll do if not your guys' expense. But covering your head while you're davening. So there are different customs as to whether one should cover one's head when he isn't married or not. Some say you may, and some say that the custom is not to. There are different customs depending on where you're praying. But the Yekish custom is that only the rabbi covers his head. Everyone else doesn't even married people don't cover their head. They wear a hat, they don't cover their head. The Sephardi custom, as far as I see, is that even non-married people cover their head. And the Ashkenazi custom, as far as I know, is that married people do cover their head and not married people do not. And there are sources for each custom.
Wait, not married people don't even wear it at all, right?
Oh, so Ashkenaz depends. The Yekis wear a talis from the time you come to shul. And almost everyone else doesn't wear a talis till they're married.
Your wife
right?
Buys you a talis for your wife.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I guess you already
come. But tell her that. Some girls don't know they're supposed to buy talis. I've already bought talis and for talis.
You've already what?
bought talis for kalas, that I called them up a few days before the wedding. I said, did you make sure to buy your chasna talis? And they said, no, I never heard of it. And because their parents were not religious, they had no backgrounds. I said, okay, I'll take care of it. Right. So make sure if you guys know kalas that don't have a strong background, let them know, and not like I did the last minute, because if you do, then you might end up buying it for them. Which I did. No, be nice. Let them know earlier. Otherwise, no, because one custom is that the kala gives it to him under the chuppah, and that's what they use for the chuppah, that talis. So she
gives him before the chuppah.
She gives it to him at the chuppah, and that under the chuppah they use that as the canopy. The canopy that's covering them is the talis.
No chuppah yet, until
the chuppah until the talis.
Well, there's another canopy that's under the canopy usually. So we make the blessing, and one should take care that tzitzis shouldn't drag on the floor. We said that tzitzis blessing is only made by day. Now, ideally, you should have enough sunlight that you could discern between blue and white. If you'd have a blue string and a white string, you could see the difference between them. Enough sunlight, not light from everything else. Now, on the calendars, they tell you what time that is. The Torah says that you should make a blessing on... the Torah says you wear tzitzit and you will see them. So here there are two different understandings what we derive from that. One understanding says that this defines what kind of garment requires tzitzit. A garment that's worn during the daytime when you see things requires tzitzit. A garment that's worn at night, meaning if you have pajamas that have four corners, don't require tzitzit. That's one understanding. The other understanding says no. It's coming to define when do you have to wear tzitzit, meaning... If you have pajamas that have tzitzit and you wear them by day, you have to have tzitzit. The pasuk is only defining when must you have tzitzit. At night, you can wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzit, any four-cornered garment. By day, any four-cornered garment must have tzitzit. So these are two different understandings, and being that we're not sure which way the halacha is, so we take the stringencies of both sides. We say by night, you cannot make a blessing. And any garment that's worn day or night must have tzitzit on it. If you have pajamas that have four corners for whatever reason, well, you'll be wearing them in the morning. You have to put tzitzit on them. And if you guys have any questions, you may sleep in your tzitzit.
Yeah?
Yeah. Never heard of someone that says you shouldn't. I don't know. So if you guys have any questions, let me know. From my perspective, we covered the basics of the laws of tzitzit. Next week, we're moving forward.
Yes.
Meaning, of course, there are more details which we didn't cover. We didn't cover, like, if you have to make a hole in your own garment, where you make the hole, and other things. But what we need to know, we covered. The basics we covered today. Yeah.
I'm not as far like tzitzit, but I...